This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
You were so done with your marriage in October, and then you said to yourself, you know what, I'm not doing anything about this. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. I'm not going to file.
We got Halloween, you got Thanksgiving.
It's the holidays, and you got Christmas, and you're like, man, I'm not going to do it here. But man, I'll tell you what, come January 1st, I'm calling a divorce attorney.
Well, there's a reason why January is called divorce month.
Yep. And that's why we have Jared Oxendine in this morning. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Good morning, Burt Show. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Attorney Jared Oxendine.
Jared, we were just talking off the air, man. He was just like, yes, come January, the phones are ringing off the hook in the office.
That's right. Holidays can be stressful, and a lot of people are already in a bad situation before the holidays, and then they go into the holidays, and it just gets worse, and you're doing the in-laws and all the kind of stressful things, and they just grin and bear it, and then January 1st hits. It is like the dog out of the cage on the first day of hunting season.
All right, so if you have a question, because I've gone through divorce, man, and it is a mountain, an emotional mountain. It all the details is a mountain also, and sometimes you have no idea where to even start. If you have any questions on how to start a divorce, Jared is here right now, again from Oxendine Law, and you could call 1 I forgot the phone number.
855-BIRD-SHOW. Yeah. 855-237-8746.
23 years.
This is your show.
Yeah, it happens, man.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't think I am.
Was this your stroke moment?
I think I might have.
You still had two numbers in, you know?
We shouldn't joke about this because you really had one in your eye.
I had one in my eye, right? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. All right, so I have one for you. I have heard this, and I have never got it confirmed before or not. So if I'm thinking about getting a divorce, and I want to block my soon-to-be ex from all the good attorneys in town, can I call those attorneys and just say, hey, my name is Burt Weiss, I am interested in a consultation, and at that point, the person I'm about to get married to cannot use that attorney.
It's true. And I hate when that happens because it happens to me sometimes.
It is true.
And so you can conflict out all the great attorneys in town.
That is petty.
Now, you can't do it by just calling saying, I want to have a consultation. You actually have to have the consultation.
Can it be a phone consultation?
It can be a phone consultation.
Oh,
it can be Zoom
man.
In person. I can tell, you know, I can't always tell because people don't just come out and tell you when they're meeting with you that they're there to conflict you out. But you can kind of get a feeling when somebody's sitting in front of you, they're just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah.
And that happens to me. And it makes me mad because I can't kick them out of my office.
It's right. Such a waste of your time.
It
it's
is.
A waste of everybody's time.
But you know
time.
What? That means I'm good, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't want their spouse to have me.
Right. So you're really blocking all the good attorneys from the person you're about to divorce. I didn't know if that was true or not. It is.
True story.
Okay.
You can do it.
So yeah, because I've seen that in movies and seen that in TV shows. And the fact that that's an actual, I mean, stuff has gotten, it must have gotten so bad if you're willing to go to those lengths to screw your ex.
Strategic. Yeah.
You know, that's just one of many things. I mean, if you're at the point where you're conflicting out of divorce attorneys, you're probably also that guy, you know, or woman. I've had females do this too, where you're so controlling, right, of your spouse. Like, for example, I have spouses that are not allowed to touch thermostat. Right?
What?
I mean, their spouse is that controlling. Like, if they touch the thermostat and lower the temperature, or raise the temperature, they're in trouble for it. And then that snowballs into micromanaging the finances and what they do during their free time. And it's just, you know, snowball effect.
Well, I do kind of understand the thermostat. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
All right, so before we get our caller on, and obviously there's, like, client-attorney privilege and stuff like that. And so, obviously, you know, keep it anonymous. But I would like to spill a little bit of tea. What's the worst thing you've ever seen?
Oh, my gosh. I've had so much crazy stuff. I mean, I have had probably the worst thing I've ever seen is there was this, I represent the wife, and she was married to this bigwig financial guy. I mean, he was like the top guy at one of the major financial firms, international financial firm. And she went to the back of his closet one day, and she found some female clothing that was not hers, including high heel shoes and dresses. And, you know, she found this box. It had some, like, videos in there that were kind of, you know, not of the type of sexual stuff that she was used to. And so, long story short, I mean, this guy was a cross-dresser. And you actually, if you worked at his firm, you had to actually buzz his office. He's on a separate floor by himself. He kept his office locked. And you had to buzz him and give him like 30 minutes advance notice just as a coworker to visit him in his office. So who knows what this guy was out doing?
Right?
Not only on the streets, but also in his office. So
sure.
He was a cross-dresser. I mean, it's just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Jared Oxendine from Oxendine Law is here. Divorce attorney, if you have any questions at all, you've been thinking about it, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Hey, Kristen, good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining. What's up?
So I am separated from my, soon-to-be ex-husband. We have joint 50-50 custody of our two boys. He makes, at least double the amount of income I do. So I'm just wondering if, you know, once we get separated and everything or go through and file for divorce, if I am owed any of his income or especially 401k retirement or anything or how that works.
Absolutely. So anything acquired during the marriage is marital. It doesn't matter if your husband is the only one that acquired the money in his 401k, for example. If it was earned during the marriage, you've got a claim to it. If he's the breadwinner and he's been supporting you financially and you haven't been working, for example, he's probably going to owe you some alimony, not to mention child support, even in a 50-50 situation on custody. If he makes more money than you, he still would have to pay some support. So make sure you have a consultation with a very good experienced divorce attorney so you can get what you're entitled to.
I feel like today I hear a lot more men be vocal about their fear of getting married, even if they're in love, because of what divorce could look like. Do you think that's a legit fear, or do you think a lot of men are misinformed in that area?
I think it's both. I will say the marriage rate for the younger generation is on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. That's a fact. Society has changed. Cultures have changed. You know, it's not frowned upon as much to see two people that are living together. You know, it used to be they're living in sin. You know, they're living together and they're not married. That's not really around as much anymore. But think about the example where you need some protections. If you don't get married, you spend 20 years with somebody, and let's say they're the one making all the money. They've got all the assets in their name, and then you break up. You get nothing.
So let's talk about that for just one second. I'm glad you brought this up because the trends are starting to change now. So let's say you do live with somebody for 12 years, 13 years, but you never get married. It's very different. Like, what is it called? Common law marriage? Is that a thing?
That went away in 1997, January 1st of 1997. So after that date, if you enter into a common law marriage, it's not recognized anymore. So your example, 12 years, if your name's not on anything, you get nothing. So if you're going to stay together and not get married, make sure your name is on the bank account. Make sure your name is on the house. Can't do anything about the retirement account if it's a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful if you're not going to get married, because then you don't have that legal contract.
Mm.
I want to ask, because Britney Spears got screwed, and I don't want anybody else to get screwed. So I read her book, and in it, they had her file for the divorce because ultimately she ended up getting screwed, because then she had to pay for all of Kevin Federline's attorney fees, and she didn't realize that. Like, they had spun it for her that for public opinion, it was better for her to file than for him to file, because then she'd look like a bad wife and mother, et cetera, whatever. So I wanted to ask you, for others, does it matter who files, or is that only this situation because there's so much at stake? Like, is there a benefit to filing first? Is there a benefit to filing second, or not having the other person file?
Couple benefits to filing first. So if you file first, you're controlling when the process gets started. You're also controlling whether or not a hearing gets scheduled at the time you file the case. The strategical advantage that I like is in court, if you filed first, you get the first word with the judge or the jury and the last word. Other than that, there's no benefit.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay. Hey, Lindsay, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. We've got Jared Oxendine in here from Oxendine Law. He can help you out.
So I am currently in a wonderful marriage. However, my husband did have children prior, and they were not married, but they have all the child support and everything set up and all of that. And I was curious how that works now that we've gotten married. Does that get looked at again? I actually make more money and didn't know how that works.
So you're worried that he's going to have to pay more child support because the two of you have combined income now?
Right.
Not true. So his child support obligation for his other children is only going to be based on his income. So they can't look at your assets or your income and coming up with his child support obligation.
There are two people that are married. One of them is screwing around on the other one so much that the other one's like, I can't take this anymore. We're getting a divorce. Does a judge actually look at infidelity in divorce cases, or does it not matter at all?
Judge does. Now, I will say it doesn't make as much of an impact as it used to. It used to be if you committed adultery and that was the reason for the divorce, judge was going to hammer you. Now, unfortunately, the judges see that all the time. You'd be shocked how many cases involve adultery. And unless it's just a crazy case, the judge still might divide all the assets 50-50. You know, the example I always like to give is I actually represented the bad guy in this case. I represented the pilot, and his wife was disabled, and she required caregivers to take care of her. And so what he did is he ran off with his airline stewardess, left her high and dry, stopped paying the bills, stopped paying for her caregiver. Yes, in that case, he got hammered, and the judge gave her most of the assets. My other funny story is I represented the wife in this other case, and her husband was a serial adulterer. Mm-hmm. And we came up with a scheme. She did not want him to get any of her assets. So she came to me and said, what can we do so that when I get divorced, I get everything? And I said, you know what? Let's do a postnuptial agreement. People don't know this. You can do a postnuptial agreement, which is like a prenuptial agreement, but it's an agreement you enter into after you get married. So we drew this thing up because she caught him red-handed, and it said, if you ever cheat on me again and I have to file for divorce, I get it all. Mm. He signed it.
He
signed it.
What dummy?
6 months later. 6 months later, guess who's sitting in my office?
Come on, really?
And she got it all.
Genius.
Wow.
All right, that is attorney Jared Oxendine from Oxendine Law. You guys, I'm sure, have a website, right?
We do, oxlawfirm.com.
Appreciate you coming on in. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Oppenheimer completely dominated the Golden Globes last night. They swept for movies. Succession led the pack for television. And let me tell you, there were a lot of jokes about not only Oppenheimer, but Barbie as well. So the host for the Golden Globes was a comedian named Joe Coy, who isn't getting a ton of love.
That was out loud.
How it was. Uh-huh.
He's getting slammed, right?
He's getting absolutely slammed.
Yeah.
They should be cooking him.
Jokes just really bad, just didn't flow. What? Why?
What did you think? You watched it. Yes, and I'm about to tell you one of the major reasons why I had a huge problem. But we'll start off a little bit easy. So he, I guess, found out about this 10 days ago that he was going to be the host of the Golden Globes. And so we talked about how he was binging all of the movies and films and TV shows that were going to be honored at the awards show. And he started off strong by making fun of the length of Oppenheimer. I felt like because Barbie resonated with so many women on such an emotional, spiritual, personal level that the joke that he made, it was just really tone deaf.
So, yeah, it's so you can crack jokes about Barbie, right? His one, the jokes weren't funny, and his delivery sucked. I mean, he fumbled the bag on several of them, and it didn't land.
Yeah, he's getting hammered today. I didn't watch any of it last night. He's getting hammered today.
They are cooking him. Man, yeah. I just watched it. That's a tough gig for a comedian. I honestly wouldn't want it. Not with that room, not at that stage. But I think he definitely needed better material. He needed better writers around him. He didn't grab the room, and he kept blaming the crowd for his material not hitting. And I think when comedians bomb and start to do that, you're spiraling really fast.
Yeah, it didn't seem like any of the actors in the room were particularly thrilled with any of the jokes. Like when it flashed to Ryan for that joke about his eyes and Barbie, like Ryan Gosling was not having any of it. And you could tell it just wasn't hitting.
Look, all those comedians, all the actors are going to are going to want to host next year because they're like, compared to this dude, I'm going to crush.
I have a nomination for who needs to host next year because they crushed it as people who are presenting awards are like 10 times more entertaining than the host. You know, there's something wrong with the host, but Andra Day and Jean-Baptiste, when they presented together, oh my God, they worked so well together and you could tell like they were just riffing off of each other and they did so good and they were so sweet and so funny. I hands down nominate them to host next year, but they have to get all new camera people because they blew it with the camera angles.
Everything sucked.
I mean, we got a lovely video of the carpet for a while. I don't know if they even had a rehearsal because people would stand up to present an award and their back was to the camera and said they had to like, It was a hot mess.
The only host that I would watch over and over and over again is Ricky Gervais, just because he loves ripping on the celebrities that are right in front of him.
Yep.
Hardcore. Yeah.
I actually saw him, I think it was his Golden Globes hosting speech or monologue when he was talking about the Epstein thing, and they just kept like flashing to all of the different actors in the room and just how uncomfortable they were. So if, you know what? I think I might be on the Ricky Gervais bus as well.
He does not give a F.
There would have been a lot of Epstein jokes in that room if he was there.
Yeah.
He won last night.
He did?
Yeah, there was some award that he ended up winning. I can't remember. I don't remember. Because they added the Golden Globes. Because that won the cinematic
achievement.
Box office. Yep. Because that's for, like, instead of the artsy movies, they're like, hey, if your movie made buku bucks, then for the fans. And so it was so weird to see, like, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift eras, yo.
Exactly. All right, well, Swifties are mad at the New York Times after an article came out that demanded she come out as gay. I'll explain on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Everything going a little bit too smoothly in Kristen's life, so she thought she'd start digging and meddling in other people's.
Yeah, some time to kill.
That's pretty much how it goes.
So, for the record, this is consensual meddling, okay?
Is it?
It was, because I asked Kelsey if I could do it, and she said yes.
Well, then why isn't she on to hear it?
I don't know. She's going to have to listen later. Maybe something happened this morning, but after we did our texting tutor, and she shot her shot, and John turned her down, because he said he was in a situationship, I asked Mo, do you think he's actually in a situationship, or if he's just using that as an excuse because he doesn't want to go out with her?
I said I think it's lies.
Okay.
What does it matter? That's what he used. The bottom line is the dude doesn't want to hang out with her. So why even? You don't even know her.
I guess I do. I know her. It's Kelsey. It's Kelsey. She's a first show listener. And I wanted, listen, I hit her. Tommy obviously had her contact information. I hit her up and I said, hey, would you like me to do a little digging? We both got a hankering for the truth. So I did some digging.
Okay. All right. So this is the listener that we had on Friday. If you missed it, our texting tutor. There she is at a party on New Year's Eve. And it's mostly couples. There's a couple of singles. And this dude kind of comes up to her like at 11:30 and starts vibing with her a little bit, make sure that she's single. And then right before the stroke of midnight, he comes up behind her and he's like, hey, you're single. I'm single. What are you thinking? So they kiss. She was impressed enough that she didn't even know who this dude was. They didn't even have conversation. It's kind of sexy. But then she goes and she starts to ask her friends, like, do you know who that guy was? Anybody? Can you give me his phone number? So she gets the phone number from a friend. She comes to us. We text this dude to say, hey, remember me? I'm the one with the herp that you kissed on New Year's Eve. And he's like, I do remember you. And she's like, do you want to go out for a drink? And he's like, ah, dang it. I'm in a situationship. Ended it. Done. Over. He didn't want to go out. Not enough for Kristen.
Nope, it wasn't. And it wasn't enough for Kelsey either. We were all proud of her for putting herself out there and being bold, because I know that's several people's word for 2023.
Thanks.
But sometimes I don't like fake people and I hate lies. So I'm like, let's just do some digging. Okay. Let's just see what happens, okay? So Kelsey gave me all the information for John, right? And I started doing a little digging online and immediately went to Instagram because that's where, you know, she had gone as well. And I did a deep dive on his Instagram and I didn't find a lot from his actual profile. So I had to put more focus into the comments on any of his pictures, what little there were. And I focused more on who he's following and who was following him, right? So I started going through like his followers and the accounts and started, or the comments to go to other accounts. And so I kind of got some semblance of his friend group and who he had been hanging out with. Looks like they had a great time in Cabo last year, by the way. but still wasn't able to find if there was any, like, relationship, right? I mean, there were some group photos or whatever, but nothing that was, like, conclusive.
Well, I mean, typically with the situationship, you're not really posting each other on the feed. You keep it on the DL so your other hoes don't see it.
So...
That is correct, Abby.
just making sure the people at home knew.
Yes. And then I went to Facebook. He is non-existent on Facebook, but I did do a cross-reference of his Insta friends on Facebook and see if there was anything. And it was still too hard to decipher if he's in any kind of relation situationship from the pictures that I was able to see because I'm not following them. So you only get limited access to people's Facebook profiles.
Real quick sidebar question has nothing to do with this whatsoever. Question for the woman with a career and a husband and a three-year-old and three dogs.
Yes.
How much time did you spend?
I don't know.
Half an hour? Hour?
Time is
2 hours.
Is a construct.
What is time?
Just curious.
We made it up.
I'm just curious.
Jimmy was napping. I was not taking time away from my son.
So an hour or two.
Sure.
Okay.
And I had stuff on. I was watching TV. And
so you're multitasking.
I was multitasking.
Okay.
Quotes. All right. So after I did my social media deep dives, I had to... Switch gears.
Can't stop there.
No. So I reached out to a friend of mine and asked if she would slide in his DMs and shoot her shot.
So now you're recruiting friends in your meddling.
Yes, okay. I am. And hey, birds of a feather flock together. She was DTF. Entrapment or fact-finding mission, tomato, tomato, right? So she slid into his DMs. And she actually waited, we figured, let's wait until late Saturday night, because then it'd be a booty call. And she hit him up, she hit John up, and said, "You up?"
Oh, so original.
Oh my God.
She's really hot,
by the way.
She
can't wait it, huh?
Well, if you're that hot, all you really need is two words.
"You up?"
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And he did respond. He said, "I am." She goes, "Found your page and took a chance." He goes, "Why can't you sleep?" And she goes, "Lonely."
Oh my God.
Now we're down to one word. She's really hot with one word.
It's so bad.
I will get these from time to time from randos, total randos, right? Going, "You up?"
"You up?"
And then I'll look at the profile picture, and if she's that hot, I know it's a fake.
Exactly.
She said, "Lonely," and he goes, "I second that." And then she goes, "Why is it so hard to find someone?"
Oh, come on, really?
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Okay.
She's off her game. He goes, "I don't know, but wish I did." And she goes, "I take it, the letter U, the letter R, single."
Oh, this is Tyler Perry script.
We were laying it on thick. "I take it you are single." And he responded, "I am."
Are you now?
Well, he was also single at midnight on the 31st until he was in a situationship.
Yes, okay. But if he really wanted to,
yeah,
he would be single. And so after she had acquired the information that she needed, she hit him up with "something we have in common." And then she said, "Let's chat tomorrow," blushing emoji face. And then she gave it a hot second and she blocked him. That way they couldn't communicate anymore.
Okay. So we found out that he was, like Mo had confirmed what I had thought also, lying.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm on Bird's side now. Kelsey didn't need that.
She didn't need that information at all.
You spent 2 hours of your life.
No, think about this.
Saying exactly what we knew.
I did not. Listen to me. Listen to me really, really quick. So, no, she could have been sitting here thinking, well, it's a situationship and it might end. She was still occupying her brain with this man who could potentially be a suitor of some sort if this situationship ended.
I don't remember. How do you know that? How do you know she was thinking any of that stuff?
Because she was. Kelsey won't even call us back. But now she can completely kick his trash ass to the side. We can move on.
Okay.
We can move on.
We moved on.
You're on The Burt Show.
So many weird things happened to Mo on this last vacation that we are now, our fourth day into being back from our holiday, and he's still telling us about the crap that happened. What happened now?
Seems to be all of my vacations. I don't know why, but I can't think of many things that would be more embarrassing than you being at a pool party that is just lit, people everywhere, and then you having to be saved because you almost drowned.
Oh, I'd rather drown.
I think
just
I'd rather
let
drown.
Let me go
too.
To the bottom.
No.
Yes.
That's it for me.
Pool party or beach?
Pool party.
Oh, yeah. Let me just sink to the bottom.
Pool. But everybody. And I really realized how difficult lifeguards have it in this situation because I saw this entire thing play out. And there was this one particular woman that was in the pool. And this was like the pool party that this hotel was throwing where they invited everyone. It wasn't just exclusive to the hotel. So there were a lot of people there, like two different DJs. There are people everywhere.
It's like a Vegas pool party.
Exactly. So inside the pool, outside the pool, it's crazy. Hmm. Luckily for me, we were staying at that particular hotel, so we had a nice little spot at one end of the pool. And there are like lifeguards kind of standing all around the pool, and it's one like right behind me who I'm like riffing and joking with the entire time. So there's this one girl that's like, sitting at kind of like tables. Like, you know how they have tables inside of the pool? She's sitting at a table herself, but it's a little further down to my right. And it was pretty obvious, and this is like early in the pool party. I mean, I might have been in the pool 30, 40 minutes at this point.
And you can stand.
Yeah, I can stand.
Yeah.
She was a little shorter. I don't know if she could.
Okay.
But she was lit, and it was obvious. But it didn't seem she was lit to the point where it would be a problem. It just seemed like she was in her own space of having a good time the way that she normally does. So there was this one incident when I thought, okay, this could be a problem. Because I like look over to my right and she's under the water, like fully immersed in the water. And she doesn't appear to be paying attention to where she's going or what she's doing, which is odd because there's so many people in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's also odd to me because me personally, I can never put my head under the water at a public pool party. Can't do it.
That is for sure.
That alone.
I remember going to pool parties in my 20s in Vegas and being right in the thick of it. And then in my 30s realizing all those dudes have been in the pool all day and I ain't seen one of them get up and go to the bathroom.
20 beers. You ain't had to go to the bathroom in 2 hours.
I mean, I really think when I was at that towel pool party that I could actually see the color of the water change.
Yes.
You can. From like noon to like
ew.
6 at night. The color changes.
Because I was in there early. Because that was our hotel. But after a couple hours of people getting there, you could see it get a little cloudy.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is 100% the truth.
That's a real thing. So I'm watching her, and I'm already blown away by the fact that she's doing that. And then she kind of like bumps in to our table. And she does it accidentally. I don't know what to do. I'm like, do I
try
that?
Is she still underwater?
She's still underwater. And she's like kind of floating.
What's it now, like 4 or 5 minutes?
That she's been under? Yeah. Yeah, about that. So I'm like, all right, do I save her? Do I mind my business? Like, what do I do? And then as soon as I get this thought.
Is that even a question? She's been under the water that long and you're like, should I save
her? It wasn't 4 or 5 minutes, though. It was honestly probably 30 seconds at that point.
Okay.
I don't know if this is just something she's doing. So I don't want to just go and touch her.
She
looks
swimming,
at me like,
or
get
is she
off
drowning?
Me.
Because she's not like flailing.
No, not at all. She's just kind of like
sinking to the bottom.
Just floating, just kind of just doing her thing. So I'm like, is she okay or not? Like, we're all trying to figure this out. Then she bumps into the table. So at that point, I think, okay, maybe she's in trouble. And then right as I got that thought, she like pops her head up and like shakes her hair off and looks at us and goes, sorry. And then goes right back to her friends. So I'm like, okay, she's lit.
But then you can see the lifeguard start to be concerned. So one of them walked over after that incident and whispered something to her. And I don't know what they said, but she clearly says back, "I'm fine. I'm just having a good time. I'm fine." So in my mind, I'm like, okay, she's fine.
Yeah.
So maybe 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by. She does it again. Like she, I don't know if like this is her move. I genuinely can't tell if this is her move or if she is legit passing out and then coming back to and then just going back to the party.
So she might be using this as like some kind of like pickup tactic?
No clue. Like I've never seen it before.
Like walking underwater to bump your table?
Yeah, and then she like snaps out of it and you can kind of see that she's lit.
Yeah.
But she just, sorry, and just goes back to partying. So I'm thinking, all right, this is her thing.
Yeah.
The third time she did it, she was a little closer to like in front of our table. And this time she didn't come back up.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, I don't know at this point. And then as soon as I got the thought that maybe she's not like partying at this point anymore.
Yeah.
You just see all of the lifeguards just jump into the water at the same time. One literally jumped over me.
Yeah.
Over me and the table. And they had to literally grab her and lift her out of the pool. She was clearly out of it.
Damn.
So I think each time, that's when it hit me. I'm like, I think she legit passed out for a second both times, but she just happened to come back too and just snapped out of it and went right back to it.
Could you imagine being a lifeguard in that situation, like one of those Vegas pool parties?
You'd have to have, I mean, serious head on a swivel, man. I mean, yes.
Because they had to watch her for a good hour. And each time someone went to her and whispered, like, I guess they probably told her, we're going to have to ask you to get out the pool if you keep this behavior up. And she kept telling them, like, she had an attitude with them. Like, right. I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm just having a good time. But that third time, she wasn't having such a good time. But they did save her. They had to, like, CPR everything, the whole nine. I saw the whole thing happen, took out the pool, laid her down, CPR. She was upset, like, after it all happened. But I think she was just embarrassed.
Yeah.
But she was, like, upset about it all. And I'm like, they just saved, your life. Like, what are you mad about?
How, the audacity of you to actually do your job and save my life.
Welcome to Dubai, man.
I know. It was a good time.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's check back in with Sierra here. Sierra has herself a dating antichrist. This is a term we use a lot on The Burt Show if you're a new Burt Show family member. And the dating antichrist is the person that is just like, they're so bad for you. It's a toxic, dysfunctional relationship. So you break up and then they do something to where you get back together. And then you break up and they do something again. And you just, they have this gravitational pull on you and you can't seem to get away until finally they do something so bad. You're like, I'm done. Right. So Sierra is in one of these relationships right now and she was going to be in the same room with this guy over the weekend and called us on Friday to say, what can I do to mentally make sure that I do not hook up with this guy again.
And I think we all gave her very solid suggestions. Yours, of course, is...
Don't shave your legs. Wear your period panties. Okay. No woman feels sexy in those period panties. Yours was more mature.
Well, I kind of spawned off of Abby's, but yeah, we both had like the same idea of you need to remind yourself of what a horrible boyfriend this guy was.
Yeah, so my idea was, I'm like, just write down three different scenarios of when this guy was just a total D-bag to you so that you can go into this situation with the fresh memory that you've just thought of why you shouldn't be with this guy. And then you had the suggestion that you should have some kind of reminder plan. So maybe you put, like, reminders in your calendar, like, every 30 minutes while you're at this party, just letting you know this is why you shouldn't get back with this guy.
Yeah, I suggested having a friend text, but if you don't want to put your friend on the spot like that, Cassie was like, just have your phone pop up with like calendar reminders, and every single one is like, remember that time when he didn't get you a birthday gift and didn't even apologize about it?
So we were thinking, if Sierra came back on here and she ended up hooking up with this guy, that wasn't our fault. We gave her plenty of opportunities, plenty of things to do. All right, Sierra, you got to be honest with us. Tell us about the night. Go ahead.
So I wasn't perfect, but I guess I'm proud of myself. I tried my best to avoid talking to him. You know, I also, like, didn't want to be, like, rude or make it a thing. So I was polite. I was cordial. I said hello. I talked to him in a few, like, group conversations, but I tried to, like, leave as well. So we didn't talk too much. And I told one of my friends to, like, intervene or pull me away if it seemed like I was getting, like, tempted or talking to him too much. But honestly, I did it all on my own, like, and I didn't need her to pull me away. So I did really well in person. And then what I'm not super proud of is I almost, again, fell for the act. After I left, he started texting me, you know, telling me how much he misses me and how seeing me earlier made him realize how he messed up. And I should have just shut down the conversation, but I mean, I was sort of engaging in it. And then it wasn't until he asked me if he could come over, which was at 1 a.m. I told him no, and he didn't respond. So that was the last we spoke. That was it. So I can't say I handled it perfectly, but I definitely handled it better than I would have in 2023. So I guess I did good.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, let's focus on the end result here, not the stumbling and bumbling on the way to get there, which I think you handled pretty well. Okay. At the end of the night, he didn't come over. You didn't hook up with this guy. Who cares about how you got there?
I think this is real growth. And to me, this is sort of like anything, any bad habit that you're trying to get rid of. So like, for example, it's January, you're trying to eat a little bit better. And so maybe, you know, you've been on this diet for a week and you go into the pantry and you see those Oreos and you're like, oh God, those Oreos look good. And then you think about getting the Oreos and then you open the pack and then you smell the Oreos. But then at the end of the day, you put the Oreos back in the pantry and you didn't eat the Oreos. And to me, that's exactly what this situation was. You smelled the Oreos. I don't think you licked the Oreos, but you put them away. You put the Oreos away and you didn't full on engage. So I'm proud of you too.
Thank you.
I agree. I think this is a complete win. I don't think there's anything for you not to be proud of. I mean, even in the fact that you heard him out, I think there's strength in that. You didn't have to completely avoid him in order to make the right decision. You heard him out and you saw how his antics led to the one thing that he clearly wants, which is to come over, and you shut it down. I don't see why you're not proud of that as well.
And if anything, you made it more difficult on yourself. Like the fact that you engaged and you kind of you put yourself in a position where you really could have caved and you almost set yourself up for failure, but you overcame. So if anything, I think you over-succeeded.
Good for you. I want to build on Abby's analogy of the Oreos, okay? And I want to circle it back to you. With Abby's analogy of the Oreos, you do a really great job. You put that Oreo in your hand, you smell it, and then you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. So you put it back in the pantry, but there the Oreos are, and you still know they're in the pantry.
Double stuffed or single? That's important.
Double, man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, but they're still in the pantry, and your mind knows that, so you'll be tempted again the next day and the next day and the next day unless you throw the Oreos out or you put water on them and then throw them out because then they can't be eaten. The equivalent of that for you right now is blocking this dude. Because right now he still has access to you. He's going to text you. Dudes like this, the Antichrist, the dating Antichrist, they will use, this is challenging for him now. This is intoxicating for him now, all right? You finally said no. He's going to come at you harder. You got to block him right now. Close the pantry. Do not eat the Oreo.
That's true.
Can you do it?
I think I can.
Put your phone, put your phone in your hand right now. Put your phone in your hand right now.
Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
Okay. It's probably in your hands right now.
I was like, how is she talking to us? And we tell everybody not to use speakerphones.
When you get off with us, because you're clearly on your phone right now, you got to block him, okay?
I did it.
You did it?
You did it.
You just did it.
Yeah, I put you off speakerphone.
Good for you. All right. Oreo's out of the picture. Good job.
Proud of you.
Be proud of yourself.
However, we are all going to eat them after the show today.
Ooh, devil stuff. Mm.
Especially devil stuff, man. I ate 3 crumble cookies this week.
Look at you.
All in the same sitting.
3? Those things are huge.
Maybe there was a gummy involved.
You are living on the edge.
Or 2. Hey, I'm not drinking.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The New York Times released an article that basically demanded one of the biggest artists of our generation come out as gay. Taylor Swift.
What is up with an article like that?
It's so bizarre. So you might be wondering, Abby, why is one of the most respected news outlets in the country speculating about an artist's sexuality?
And forcing somebody to come out.
Yeah, isn't that kind of messed up? Like, didn't we as a society agree that the kindest thing for the LGBTQ community was to let people come out on their own terms and their own way, because it can be a very difficult thing for people.
And what publication was this again?
The New York Times.
Okay.
The New York Times.
Yeah, it's not the National Enquirer. Like, this is like
So let me back up just a little bit. There's this conspiracy theory in the Swiftie community about Taylor Swift being gay. And they call themselves the Gaylers, which is admittedly a very fun and quirky name. But anyway, it's a large group of fans that see her lyrics through a queer lens and interpret certain lyrics that Taylor Swift is secretly trying to say that she's bi, but won't come out and actually say it. She wants to use her lyrics as a way to come out.
Okay, so to be a Gayler, do you have to be gay, or do you just have to think Taylor Swift is gay?
You just have to believe in the conspiracy theory that she is a part of the LGBTQ community.
Okay.
And before I explain this theory, before we actually go down the rabbit hole, let me state that Taylor has already come out multiple times saying she's not gay. Most recently, it was in the prologue to her 1989 re-recorded album that she talks about being an ally to this community that she is not a part of. So this has really stayed within the Swiftie community until an editor from the New York Times released an opinion piece that speculates on her sexuality and pretty much claims that Taylor is a member of the LGBTQ community and she is doing harm to the entertainment industry because she's not coming out. So this woman, for context, has already written an article doing the same thing to Harry Styles. And this article about Taylor Swift that she wrote is called Look What We Made Taylor Swift Do. It's by Anna Marks. She's an editor for the opinion section in the New York Times. And in it, this author opens up by talking about a queer country artist who had thought about ending her life because of the difficulties of breaking into the music industry in 2006. Very different times. So the entire article leans into this conspiracy theory and pretty much all but calls Taylor Swift gay and is like, we need Taylor Swift to come out. Because right now, in the year of our Lord 2024, where some of the most prominent musical acts in the country are gay, people who are gay in the music industry can't succeed until somebody big comes out and says that they're gay. Let me just state for the record, we have Lil Nas X, Troye Sivan, Janelle Monáe, Elton John, Miley Cyrus. We have incredible musical acts that are openly gay.
Lil Nas X is gay?
Is this breaking news for you?
This is so ick.
It's
like
so
everything
ick.
About it is so ick. Yeah. Why you, she's literally, she's a bully. Like, she's trying to bully somebody into coming out when she doesn't, like, you don't know.
Well, not only do you not know, Taylor herself has said, I am not.
It's like, if I came on and I talked about dating boys, but then people in the comments of our Burt Show, if the people saw in the videos that we post on our Burt Show social media, they're like, Abby's not actually straight. She's actually talking about women when she talks about her dating stories. It would be, it's so, so deeply problematic. And so I followed this Taylor Swift commentator. His name is the Swiftologist. And he actually has a really great, like, hour-long video talking about how harmful this is. And this is not the first time it has happened to other artists, and it has deeply impacted them.
Speculating at length in the New York Times and spreading false information and conspiracy theories about someone's sexuality is so far from living in aspiration. That is not an aspirational world of a gay experience that I, as a gay person, want to live in. A queer life without friction should mean that people do not take this much of a studied interest in other people's sexuality. To be fulfilled and to feel accepted, you cannot also feel harassed, bullied, and scared. Other celebrities who experienced behavior like this, such as Kit Harington, Louis Tomlinson, Harry Styles, have spoken about how incredibly psychologically damaging this crusade to out them was. Lauren from Fifth Harmony felt that she was further boxed into the closet because of this and painted as a predatory lesbian trying to turn Camila Cabello into being interested in women. And she described that was an incredibly painful experience for her, and it did not lead her to any sort of self-acceptance, and it did not lead the culture towards any wider acceptance either. That's what this kind of speculation does. It encourages a culture of fear and silence. It does not alleviate it.
So it's incredibly harmful to have these kinds of pieces come out. And I am so shocked that the New York Times, I mean, it's one thing if it was, you know, a tabloid fodder, but this is an incredibly respected publication. And granted, it's an opinion piece. So, I mean, this is just somebody's opinion. But to come out and basically demand that Taylor Swift be gay or otherwise other acts can't be successful is ridiculous.
I don't even get why it's relevant. I mean, you're entitled to the music that these artists create and whatever that they're creating. Their sexual lives is so irrelevant to the fact that they're artists. I never really got the whole wanting to know what they do in their bedroom thing.
You know, at the end of the day, even though it's the New York Times, they are still content providers. So they have to get clicks, and they have to get people to their newspapers, and they have to get people to their website. And they know an article like this is going to do it, because it does seem very un-New York Times-ish.
Mm, yeah, well, I think they should delete it. But anyway, for more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it? The Burt Show.
I am pretty sure when I said this the other day on the show, I think all of you guys sort of, I could see you nodding your head yes to it. I think like 90% of my friends at one point or another over the last couple of weeks has said they had a cold, flu, been in bed for the last 4 days. Same for you guys, right?
Yeah, I was one of them.
Yeah, me too.
I had that gnarly stomach bug. I haven't been that sick, and I can't remember how long. It was just so, and then they get to be sick over the holidays. Oh, yeah, for some reason, it just exacerbates it.
And for me and a lot of my friends, it was the same symptoms. It's like you get this cold and cough, and then you start shivering. And then for me, it was like sweating in the middle of the night, like waking up in a pool of sweat for like 3 days, and then it goes away. But everybody seems to have had it, right? So what the heck is this? And how can you avoid getting sick, right, this time of year? The director of the CDC, did you hear that? The director of the CDC thinks, I think, that she's going to be on CNN right now. She is not. she is Dr. Mandy Cohen joining the Burt Show this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So great to be on with you guys.
We are so glad and honored that you're with us.
Thanks for having me.
Right. I mean, granted, you're right down the street, but still, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's great to be new to Atlanta. Great to be on the show for the first time.
Well, thank you. I assure you that you're going to lose some IQ points by the end of this conversation. So I'm not even sure exactly what to ask you, but it does seem like everybody has this. So what is this, and what are you supposed to do to avoid this?
Yeah, tis the season, right, where we've just had holidays and we were already seeing a lot of germs circulating before Christmas. And then, of course, everyone got together and they were traveling, and germs love to spread at this time of year. So we are seeing both a lot of respiratory virus and some, ugly stomach bugs and other things circulating right now. So we have to go back to what we know works and the tools that we have to protect ourselves, right? I know they're boring, but they work. Obviously, get vaccinated for the things we have vaccines for, right? So I have a 9 and 11-year-old daughters, and I got them both the updated COVID shot. They got their flu shot. And it doesn't mean they're never going to get sick this season, but I can know that they're going to be protected from the worst of what those viruses can bring. And then it's like all the normal stuff, right? Are you bringing hand sanitizer with you? Are you washing your hands? Are you staying home when you're sick? That's the hardest one for me, right? Is you don't want to miss anything. You got to get to work. You got to pick up the kids, all the things. But are you staying home when you're sick, particularly thinking about who are you around and making sure you're not spreading those germs.
All right, Dr. Mandy Cohen, what I need you to do is come up with a way to teach a two-year-old how to cover his mouth when he coughs.
You know, the whole elbow thing, we're all learning that, right? I was on a plane the other day and someone was coughing. I was like, cover your cough, man. You're an adult. So look, we know what to do. And we just need to do that to protect ourselves and each other. And, you know, not everyone is at the same level of risk, but no one wants to be sick, right? Even if it's not something that's going to send you to the hospital, you don't want to be sick. So there are simple things we can keep doing. And it's important to also know what everyone has a runny nose this time of year, but what's the difference between a little runny nose and when I'm sick, right? In terms of staying home, right? And so when I heard you're saying before, you know, like I was getting sweats in the middle of the night and I had a fever or I'm really have body aches or certainly if you're throwing up or those kind of things, like that's when you need to take the moment and be like, yep, I got to stay home. I'm sick here. And importantly, you want to go get tested. And the reason I want everyone to get tested is knowing what you have allows you to know if treatment is possible for you, particularly if you're a senior citizen. If you are over 65, knowing if you have flu or COVID or really what you have means that you can get treatment. And what we're seeing is it's our seniors who are in the hospital right now with flu, with COVID. And taking medicine could keep you out of the hospital and could save your life.
Okay, I'm going to say something that you absolutely hate, but here we go. So I think as I've gotten older, I'm not a senior citizen just yet. I really feel like the body will take care of itself for the most part. And I'm trying to stay away from vaccines and I'm trying to stay away from medicines. But at some point or another, it's got to be done. So for somebody that like me, that is sort of not anti, just wants to see if the body is going to work itself out first. Mm-hmm. At what point do I say, all right, it's time to go see a doctor. All right, it's time to get vaccinated or whatever.
Yeah, so I hear that a lot, and that's, you know, look, and not everyone is at the same risk, so you need to know yourself and your body. But look, we know these vaccines can be helpful at any age. Think about, for example, long COVID. I think you might have heard of that. This is where people are getting long symptoms from even a mild illness of COVID. And no one wants to be sick, as we're all talking about, but certainly not for a long time. Getting vaccinated actually reduces your risk of those of long COVID, of something turning into a longer sickness. So even if you want your body to work it out, it probably could, but it could take a long time. Vaccines can help you get over it much quicker.
Okay, so let me just double down on that for a second, and I'm not talking about myself, but I do know that there are some of our listeners that are absolutely no way, no vaccine for me.
Yep.
So if they are like that, what can they do to protect themselves without a vaccine?
Yeah. Okay. If vaccine is not your choice, don't forget about treatment, right? So if you do get sick, this is why it's so important, particularly if you're not vaccinated, to get tested and get treatment, right? So we all want to try to tough it out, but like, don't always tough it out, right? Mm-hmm. Get tested. Particularly, you know, look, if you have an underlying condition or if you are also around someone who could get more sick, the fact that you get treatment can help you recover quickly, be less infectious, and potentially have you not spread it to someone else. So, you know, think about getting treatment. So if vaccine's not your choice, treatment is still available. That's why testing is so important, to know what you have. Go to urgent care, go to a pharmacy, go to your doctor, get tested for flu or COVID and some of these other bugs that are circulating. And then you could get treatment if we have it for that particular virus.
All right, so we have Dr. Mandy Cohen, director of the CDC, on with us. And can you clarify something for me? Because I'm hashtag team vaccine. Got my flu vaccine, my COVID vaccine, just because I know it may not prevent me from getting sick, but it's definitely going to help with my symptoms for sure. If I do, it won't be as bad. It won't be as long. If you're getting vaccines, are you strictly doing it for yourself, or is it true, like I've always heard, you know, we visited our elderly parents over the holidays and I felt compelled to get these vaccines because I was going to be around my 80 plus year old mother-in-law who has dementia. So is it beneficial to get vaccines for others, or are you strictly doing it for yourself?
I think it's both. It certainly starts with protecting yourself, right, from the worst of what this could be from a virus, but certainly thinking about who you are around. And getting vaccinated, meaning, again, doesn't mean you won't ever get it, but it means less likely and for less long, and then thus spreading it to others becomes less likely. But that's why also using testing ahead of maybe when you are seeing the grandparents, right? I'll just say, right, I am not, for example, generally someone who is testing regular, but if I am going to see someone who is elderly or is frail, I will test ahead of time just to make sure that I am not bringing something to folks unknowingly, right? So you want to think about yourself, your own risk, but also who are you going to be around?
Dr. Cohen, I've got two young kids. One's in daycare, and we all know that is
a petri dish.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh. I think we were sick for 3 months. And that kind of is what it is. And we kept our daughter home as much as we can because we're fortunate to be in that place. But is there anything for families with working parents whose kids are in daycare or school that they can do as a family to stay more healthy beyond vaccines to sort of mitigate all those sicknesses their kids are bringing home?
Yeah. Oh, I so remember this. So my kids are 9 and 11, so not so much in a petri dish now, but I get it. And so keeping your kids, you know, well around this time is tough. So one, making sure that they can do as much as they possibly can to like wash their hands. And when you're home, washing down surfaces, particularly if you can wipe down counters and the faucets on the sinks, and of course the toys, particularly if they put in their mouth. So, and, you know, it's not going to be perfect when they're, you know, at their childcare centers, but when you're home, trying to wipe down all those surfaces is important. And then, you know, doing the best you can when they are sick, again, to the pediatrician, making sure the kids stay hydrated, use Tylenol and Advil to make sure their symptoms are under control. And then, look, kids are usually able to bounce back, but it is actually our kids under the age of 5 that we're seeing getting pretty sick from flu right now. So you do want to really pay attention. Not every virus is the same. So do pay attention to your kid, and are they eating and drinking? You want to make sure, if they're having trouble breathing, right, we're in a different place. You need to really keep on top of our little kids because some of these viruses can really take a turn for some of them.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media @thebirdshow.